Hey, want to take a walk on the wild side and experience the bleeding edge of technology? Then get ready because it doesn't get much more edgy than this. You're in for a wild ride. You're listening to Sovereign Tech with your host, the man in triple black, the golden stallion of the tech world, Brian Sovereign. He's got a huge brain. And now, here's Brian.
That's right. Welcome to Sovereign Tech. We've got another great special lined up for you. I love doing these things. There's been so many recently, but you know, there's just so much going on, so many exciting projects happening. And I've got a couple guests today for a project that I am super excited about. I mean, really, like, this is stuff that can change the world, because the world is really on the internet, and this is something that can help us rein in some personal liberty, some personal control of the internet away from really the crazy people that are running it now, seemingly, like ICANN. And actually, ICANN, I'm sure, is going to get mentioned quite a bit here and insulted quite a bit by my two guests. I have Michael W. Dean from Freedom Fiends.
Hello.
With me.
Hello.
And Derek Slopey.
Evening.
And you guys are with Meowbit. Meow, and this can be found. It's at meowbit.com, meowbit.com. And Michael W. Dean, you are the cat herder, the worm wrangler, the publicist. I'm sure there's a million other titles for Meowbit. And Derek, you are the developer slash programmer. And so really, this is a two-man band on this project.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of look at it like, you know, like early Kraftwerk was two people. They added a couple people later, and we may add some people later at some point. But, you know, you can make a lot of music with two people if everybody's wearing multiple hats. And I kind of look at this like a rock and roll band, Derek and I. You know, kind of like somewhere between a software company and a gang.
I like that. So Meowbit, maybe we could get like a 1 minute intro to what Meowbit is. And then I want to talk about, because it's something that's based on Namecoin. And I think a lot of people still need to figure out what Namecoin is, as much as I try to mention it on Sovereign Tech whenever I can, because it's one of those, it's one of the altcoins. I hate to even use that term, but it's one of the altcoins or a spinoff of Bitcoin that actually really does something. Which makes it exciting. So, Michael, if you want to tell me just, you know, maybe a quick shot of what Meowbit is.
Yeah, I think first we have to tell what Namecoin is. Namecoin is a spinoff of Bitcoin. It's a lot of the same code as Bitcoin, but it's a different blockchain. And it looks like the same wallet, except it has another tab on it that says manage names. And you go into there and you can register domain names that are .bit instead of .com, .net, etc. And they are resolved over the blockchain. Like, basically everybody can have the blockchain on their computer like they do with Bitcoin, and you can enter IP addresses in there or name servers in there to associate with those. And if you have software like Meowbit, it'll pull up those sites. You know, you can have sovereigntech.bit, and it,
which does exist, actually.
Does it? Is it exist and it's working?
I'm not sure. I don't have it up working, but the dot bit has been secured.
Okay, when you
from,
get it,
from an anonymous benefactor.
When you get it working, let us know. We'll add it to our list of working dot bit sites. Because, see, the thing is, Namecoin's been around for 3 years, and it's a brilliant concept, and it can be used for more things than just registering domain names, like ID proof and, you know, proof of origin, you know, basically replacing the copyright office of just saying, yeah, I came up with this first. And Derek can speak more to that. But basically, someone came up with it almost 3 years ago. Its birthday is coming up April 18th, is the 3-year birthday of Namecoin.
Wow, I had no idea it's been around that long. I mean, that's got to be one of the – that would put it as one of the first altcoins really out there.
Yeah, and a lot of people thought it was dead, like other programmers. And really the work that I've been doing previous to working with Derek with this other guy, and then on this other project, and then with Derek on Meowbit, is a big reason it's not dead anymore. And some people would probably argue with that, but, you know, if you do a Google search, I come up a lot, and I've been a cheerleader for this. I am absolutely religious about it. And the thing is, there are like 150,000 dot bit names registered, and there are only like 20 or 25 sites, and I own like five of them, and Derek owns like three of them. So We need to get more adoption of it. You know, basically people – I think people took the wrong tack. I don't think that people are going to make a lot of money saving domain names and you know, selling them to the rightful owners the way they did with .com. Right. I think the way to make money at it right now is to mine Namecoin and to bring value to the whole system by setting up .bit sites that are .bit only and .bit mirrors of .com sites. Because if I can seize your .com domain and reroutes it to, you know, the FBI has seized blah, blah, blah with the American Eagle on it, then you can't get to that site anymore. But if you have a .bit one, people with MeowBit can get to it. Now, you said something before about that other software I was working on. You called it the killer app for Namecoin, which is brilliant. I'm co-opting that term for MeowBit because MeowBit really is the killer app for Namecoin, because that other thing only worked on one browser. Now, that thing does right. work on Linux. So if you're on Linux, you should go to freespeechme.org. But I'm not on that project anymore. And MeowBit works on the whole system. So every browser, FTP, email, instant messenger could all be set up. And it works out of the box on every browser. We've tried that.
So this almost – this works – its scope works like a VPN where it just, you know, kind of takes everything and pushes it into the Namecoin system, into the .bit levels.
Sort of, but it's not really quite like a VPN, and Derek can speak to that more. But there is sure. – there's a couple other ways to view .bit sites, but none that are as robust, easy to use. You installed this, right? You got it working.
I did,
and it
yeah.
was easy, right?
Oh, it was very, very smooth to install, and it just ran. I mean, yeah. it just did what I wanted it to do. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and a lot of software tries to do too much. I like small programs that do one thing really well, that are kind of like the aspirin of software. Yeah. You know?
And no, I agree. You know, this is something that's been going on with software for a while.
Bloat.
Microsoft kind of yeah. – yeah, bloat. And, bloat. And like there's the theory of yeah, –
Well, that's largely because they have – you know, buildings full of programmers who are being paid $150,000, $200,000 a year, and they don't want to pay them to just sit there, and they can't roll out new versions they can sell unless they add features to them. And they kind of have a
right.
a Peter Principle idea of where they reach their pinnacle, and then they advance them and make them worse. You know, like I would say Windows 7 is the best Windows, and Windows 8 is a step down, for instance.
I totally agree.
And they also want to continue their product. I mean, where our goal is kind of let's let this be replaced with something better. I mean,
oh, yeah.
most software development companies want to keep that brand, that name, and keep it going, you know, to eternity.
Yeah, this is
right.
proof
I mean,
of concept. This is activism. This is like we want to get people interested in .bit and love it until somebody comes along and like, say, you know, until Firefox says, oh, we're putting this technology in by default.
Yep. Right. Yeah. You know, this is something, I mean, that I think why Namecoin might not have been picked up so quickly is that its purpose, you know, one of the problems I have with Bitcoin is it seems like a lot of the people getting into the Bitcoin space and really the cryptocurrency space in general are just interested in how can we integrate this into the status quo. And that's really annoying, you know, because some of this stuff can really, really set people free. Namecoin is one of those that has a feature that can really do that, you know, eliminating ICANN.
We did a Freedom Feeds the other day based on a thread on the Bitcoin forum of how could we use the blockchain for voting in federal elections that, you know, wouldn't have the problems that the Diebold boxes had. And we right. did an episode called Using Decentralized Technology to Prove to Choose Centralized Leadership is So Square.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Namecoin
right.
isn't just about .bit, you know, and the expansion of Namecoin is going to come from other innovative things that we haven't even thought of, you know, ways to publish this, you know, public information in other namespaces.
Right.
There's identity. There's an identity namespace for publishing your identity and maybe your PGP public key or some other key. There's the product namespace that we're using. We haven't gotten into that yet, where we're publishing information.
Yeah,
on
Derek's being modest. Derek did something with the blockchain that no one has done. The updates for future versions of MeowBit, the alerts for them come over the blockchain, which is more secure than doing it the way it's usually done. It's never been done.
That is amazing. Derek, if you want to explain to me, how exactly does that work? So you find out about the updates for MeowBit through the Namecoin blockchain?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm getting?
Take a look at your MeowBit in the settings window there. It'll show you what the current version you're running is and what the newest version is. And that newest version comes off of a product namespace that I made a specification for. I didn't get any feedback on it. I don't know whether anybody else will ever get to use it, but it essentially just stores.
They can use it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, so if I click when it gives me that notification that there, you know, that you can get a new version, what's the process that I go through to get that new version?
A link opens, a link appears there next to it. I mean, eventually we'd like to be able to deliver those right over the blockchain with a, you know, specify a download location in that product record that's stored in the Namecoin space.
Yeah, the green lights in there. When it's not the latest version, when there's a newer version, one or both of those turns red.
Yeah. And then a link appears. And that right now the link is not being pulled down from the blockchain, but eventually it will be, it can be. So
yeah, I think that the version that it's listing, I think that the version you have is actually a newer version than the one that's listed as the latest version, which means it'll still be green because we made a tiny, tiny update that we didn't want to make everyone go have to down, you know, we didn't want to spur people to have to download it. It was basically the Ian Freeman fix. We made it. Well, I'm sure other people may have this issue, but Ian puts his wallets on a different drive than the C drive. And we had to account for that. So we did a tiny update that fixes that issue. And basically it wouldn't be smart to deliver that update over the blockchain because nobody who is able to receive the updates over the blockchain would have that problem, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so we can publish those product updates. It's in my Namecoin wallet. I open up my Namecoin wallet and go to manage names, and I put in a new data string for the current MeowBit information, and then that goes out, you know, just like any other transaction would go out over the nodes, and MeowBit listens for that.
Amazing. Now, I want to get something. I want to maybe backpedal a little bit because I want to get something clear for the listeners. I mean, the Namecoin blockchain is not creating an alternative internet, right?
No. It's just a place to publish data. You can essentially create a name and associate some data with that name, and that lives on the blockchain in versions that go back too. So when you publish a new, when you change the value of a name, the old information is still there too. It's a, you know, it's a ledger.
It goes for the most recent one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of hard saying a new internet of what a new internet is because it's kind of, I mean, I have to look for analogies in the old world. It's kind of like saying opening up a new radio frequency doesn't create a new atmosphere that the waves go over.
Yeah. Yeah. The internet is not the DNS system. I mean, the DNS system was built on top of the internet so that we could use friendly names for IP addresses. But what this is equivalent to, I guess, if you didn't have a phone book and you had to call the operator every time you wanted to know somebody's phone number versus having a phone book in your house. But even better than just having a phone book in your house, you can prove mathematically that that phone book is correct, which is impressive. Or it hasn't been altered anyway.
No, I follow. Go ahead. Yeah.
That's it. That's my analogy.
Oh, okay. All right. No, it's a good one. I like that.
Oh, I was busy talking to my wife because she was showing me a large piece of chicken she'd found on the floor that a cat had swiped off of my plate.
Now, you know, speaking of cats, Michael, I think you are implicit in making sure that .bit domains have plenty of cats. Is that accurate?
Well, I love cats. It's not just imagery. I mean, I literally spent about an hour today on the bed petting two cats by myself while listening to Free Talk Live. I love cats. They're great. They're really groovy. But, you know, the .com internet was kind of driven by cats. Cats and pornography. I'm not making any pornography. I hope someone makes some .bit pornography.
But, yeah, you know, I'm kind of shocked that pornography hasn't caught on. Pornography seems to be one of those industries that catches on early.
Yeah, it drives everything. I mean, it drove, you know, Betamax, VHS, Super 8 cameras, Polaroid cameras, and the internet. But here we're doing an interview next week. I'm not going to say who with yet, but with a kind of major poker site. And I've been really thinking that poker sites really need to get behind .bit because they get shut down a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're blocked or whatever. Yeah. Absolutely.
Anybody that doesn't want the hassle of having to justify their existence should have a .bit site.
Right.
Yeah, because basically it's like all of our friends, all three of us, all of our friends have podcasts and blogs and radio shows where all they do is complain about the tyranny of the government all day. And they're doing it on .com, .me, .net, all these domains that can be taken away with the snap of a finger. Like far easy. It's a much bigger threat than having your guns taken away, because they have to come to your house to take your guns away and risk their lives.
Right.
But to take your .com or .me or .whatever, you won't even know who did it or why they did it. And, you know, you could probably hire lawyers and find out who did it and then see if you can sue them. But that costs a lot of money. And, you know, they can do it without due process by sending a fax or making a phone call.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Totally possible.
So you're asking for permission every day. You're asking for permission to have free speech every day you host only on a .com or .whatever ICANN site.
Yeah. Right. And I think it's an important point to bring up, because a lot of people feel, you know, that, oh, the internet is so free. The internet is, you know, nothing can take it down. And when that's not exactly accurate, I mean, you can't take down the internet maybe per se, but you could certainly burn the phone book.
Yeah.
I really
feel like .bit is the actual, finally, there's a delivery on the promise of the internet that we heard in the mid 90s of like, everybody has free speech. It's really democratic in the best ways of that word can be used. And, you know, the kid in his bedroom in Cincinnati or Belarus has the same ability to be seen as the New York Times. Well, he really doesn't if somebody can take it down if they don't like it. But now that can't be done as easily by far.
Yeah. Now they can take your IP address, but you're not really invested in your IP address.
Yeah. Tell what it would take to get your site up and running, and how long it would take, Derek, if they took your host.
If they took one of my IP addresses, you could set up your server, because, of course, you have a backup, I'm sure, if you're a website operator. Your server, you throw it in your laptop, go down to McDonald's. Maybe not McDonald's, because you can't probably get in. They probably have a pretty strong firewall at McDonald's. But you can bring it to your house where you've got a public IP address. You open up your Namecoin wallet, you publish the new IP for your .bit site, and all the new clients are going to be directed there with the same name.
Within 40 minutes. And that's another advantage this has over other kinds of ICANN centrally controlled websites. That can take 1 to 3 days for everyone to be able to see it worldwide. With .bit, when you register a new site, it takes 3 hours for everyone to be able to see it. And when you do an update on an existing site, it takes 40 minutes. Basically, like, if there was no threat of censorship, everybody would probably still be using this anyway eventually. It makes more sense.
I mean, even if they don't, even if they didn't seize your domain name, when you go to your registrar to change your IP address to your website, you're asking them for permission to do it. You know, nobody can stop, just like nobody can stop you from sending Bitcoin to another person. Nobody can stop you from updating your name. You're not asking permission. You're just doing it.
I discovered a really interesting impediment with ICANN that I didn't know existed until last night. I registered a domain name for somebody else because they didn't have the money at the moment, and I did it as a favor. And, you know, that was like 2 weeks ago. And I went to – he had the money for it and paid me for it yesterday. And I went to transfer
– this is a .com website. .com.
And I went to transfer – it was a .net actually. And I went to transfer it to him, and, you know, I got the code from my – provider to send to him for him to put it on his provider, and he put it in and it said ICANN regulations prevent transfer of domains registered less than 60 days ago. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Wow. Man, I didn't know that, but apparently that's true. I guess
it's probably
an anti-squatting thing or something,
right? So, I mean, now one company, I shouldn't even call them a company, one group that I would think would want to jump on this and take advantage of this, you know, technology and ability.
I know what you're going to say.
The Pirate Bay. If that's what you guessed.
La, la, la. I can't hear you. La, 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 la.
Oh, no. Well,
the Pirate Bay has been developing their own solution for this. And I think that the primary reason is because the Namecoin software that, you know, there was no Meow Bit. The Namecoin client is still kind of kludgy, but I believe there is a team working on getting a new client out. You know, that people just don't have it. You know, only the most sophisticated, technically sophisticated people have had the ability to use .bit sites.
So it's until really now.
Yeah, yeah, getting it to the masses has really been what's been keeping people from using it.
Right. Okay. So I guess I got to wonder now, Derek, I mean, you're the developer, the programmer here. And, you know, we're in a software world where, you know, pretty much every software company, their theory is embrace and expand. And they, you know, they don't actually innovate anymore. They just kind of buy up the actual innovators. And I guess I wonder, I mean, if, let's see, how do I want to put this?
What do we sell out?
I mean, how would you feel if a big company came up and said, hey, you know, we want to put Meowbit into our, you know, whatever, say, just for an example, I don't think this would
it's
happen.
It's GNU license, so they could do it without asking us.
Yeah.
They could do it without asking.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing there'd be to offer for money would be for them to hire us to do things like what we're doing for their company. But anybody, we actually use the GNU license rather than using, you know, a more restrictive or a non-license. Like some people are just like, oh, you know, copyleft, or there's actually a Creative Commons license that is, I found this out the other day, that is public domain. And you don't want to use that kind of stuff if you want your things adopted, because in the legal system we have, I mean, you can say, I'm an anarchist, I don't believe in IP, and I am and I don't. But if I act like an anarchist in the licensing of it, you know, Firefox can't put it in their program easily because their lawyers won't understand what the ramifications are. But a GNU license or a Creative Commons license for art are very, very simple to understand, and they have distinct legal meanings.
So you guys, you would appreciate it. Say if like WC3, they're the guys, the standards that generally work with Firefox, the standards organization. I mean, if they came up to you and said, hey, we want to integrate this, you would be all for it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Make something a lot better.
And
sure.
Guy who invented the World Wide Web, what's his name? The British guy, Sir somebody, somebody.
Oh, Vint Cerf? No.
He was in on it.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I can't think of his
name. He just did
either.
They just had the something anniversary of the formation of the web, and he did a Reddit Ask Me Anything. I liked one of the questions was, what use of the web did you not foresee that's widespread? And he said, kitty cats.
Which, of course, you're providing.
Yeah. But so. I mean, that guy is extremely concerned about censorship. I've tried to tweet this to him, but, you know, those people have a lot of people tweeting at him. You know, I think if he had this put in front of him and really grokked what it was, I think he'd be trumpeting it from the rooftops. I think Edward Snowden would be, too. I think the Pirate Bay would be, too.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So why? I mean, I know you went la, 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 la when I mentioned the Pirate Bay. But I mean, so they're coming up with their own solution. But so that they haven't have they approached at all? I should know about this, but I don't. They haven't approached the .bit system at all.
I don't know. WikiLeaks has. WikiLeaks has a .bit active, I believe.
Okay.
Do they?
Okay.
Yeah.
I should add that.
I haven't actually checked it, but I read about it. That's the example I use quite a bit when talking about .bit is that, you know, first WikiLeaks, first they took away their access to the banks. So they went to Bitcoin.
Right.
And then they started taking their websites with their domain names. So now they can go to .bit, you know.
That's amazing.
I said la, 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 because I don't want to talk about any possible illegal uses for our software.
Oh, right on. Okay, good point.
That's none of our business, and we clearly state that we're not recommending it be used for anything like that. The basic reason I'm interested in this is for protecting free speech that's currently legal from being taken by not legal means. I mean, like basically, you know, I'm not trying to protect people who are breaking laws. I'm not saying they can't use it. It's openly licensed. Anybody can use it. But the reason I'm interested in this is so when somebody decides, you know, the freedom fiends insulted some politician and he gets somebody to take away freedomfiends.com, we still have freedomfiends.bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I can understand that. And I really need to get on sovereigntech.bit to make that a thing and make it happen. I guess, you know, I'm curious, what do you think? Now, this is a big step. Meowbit is a huge step in getting adoption of using .bit, obviously. The other one you mentioned, Free Speech Me, that's intriguing. But you know, like you said, it's limited. It's limited, and it
hasn't been updated at all. That guy's really busy. I mean, that thing came out like 7 or 8 weeks ago. It hasn't been updated at all. None of the issues with it have been addressed. It crashes browsers sometimes. It crashes Windows Event Viewer, I found. And
wow.
You know, but it was the first. I mean, it's the Model T. It's the first airplane. You know, it's the first airplane, but we're building the first turboprop, basically.
Right on. Okay, so what do you see as far as, other than Meowbit, I mean, are there any abstracts, and this question's for both of you, are there any abstracts as far as what's keeping people from adopting this? Is it just lack of knowledge? I mean, what's...
Derek, you want to take it first?
It's still pretty new, you know?
Right.
I'm not really sure why people aren't using it. I heard about it through Michael a couple months ago, and when he started talking about it, and I held off quite a bit. I guess it was more than a couple months ago now. I held off quite a bit before even looking into it, you know? I mean, if you
people
don't hear
busy.
That other people are using it, then you
people
don't tend
busy.
To... Yeah.
Sure. I mean, but wow, speaking of people busy, I mean, Derek, have you gotten any sleep? You rolled this out in a couple months?
I made the first commit to GitHub on the 25th of February, and there's
okay.
We're on the third version release now. So, yeah, there was
that
a few
amazing.
Weeks where I didn't get to sleep before 2 o'clock a.m.
And he has a day job, and he has a wife and kids.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's good for me to do that once in a while, though. So yeah. I'll catch up.
I'll answer further on your why haven't people
please.
Adopted it. It's kind of a disappointment to me that people haven't yet, but I agree with Derek that it's new. I mean, you know, Bitcoin's been around 5 years. The first year, I mean, it was a year and a half before somebody was able to pay 10,000 Bitcoin for a pizza.
Right.
You know, and I think it'll be a lot quicker that people start to adopt this. They already have. But basically we're having to contact tech savvy podcasters and radio people like yourself, get them into it, and then like walk them through how to do it. I mean, we've done that with several people now, and they're kind of the first and a half adopters, and they get their fans that are smart to jump on it. Here's the thing, though. I mean, like PGP, it's basically I have a disappointment in people in general. You know, I like people. People are pretty cool, but here's an example. There are not a lot of great tutorials on doing PGP email and off-the-record encryption with Pigeon. And I got,
this is true.
So I got together with five buddies of mine who are tech savvy about a year and a half ago and wrote a bunch of tutorials, like two tutorials, one for each, that are just killer. They're like the best tutorials out there. And we vetted them, checked all the screenshots, had other people go through the process, tell us what they didn't get instantly, what they had to be expanded. They're great. They're on the Freedom Fiends blog. That was back when I was on Facebook. I'm not on anymore, but I had 3,500 so-called friends on there, and I was really active on there. And I would post something, and it would get, you know, 40 or 50 shares and likes. And
right.
I posted that, and it got like 5 likes and 3 shares or something. And, you know, like right after that, somebody posted like, look what the police did at this traffic stop today. And it got like 5,000 shares, you know, and I'm like, no, you people are just interested. You have a twitchy finger. You want to go with old solutions. You think that Facebook and Twitter are activism. You think
right.
that hitting like on something is doing your part. And all you're doing is complaining about same book, different chapter. The cops did something horrible today. That doesn't
right.
even like raise my – no matter how bad it is, I barely notice it anymore. And there's so many people screaming about it. But it's like I contacted – I'm not going to say who, but it's a radio host that is like the main big nationally syndicated, like they're coming to take your guns, people. That one of the, that guy, I contacted
yeah,
his
guy.
People and was like, you should write about .bit. You should interview me about this. And they were like, oh, I don't know. Get some more information and, you know, get some more press and then we'll look at it. Like that guy's site is more likely to be taken down without due process than anybody in America, literally. And
you know, I know who you're talking about, and I'm amazed that guy's site is still up.
I know.
I know that there's people who get conspiratorial about that even.
But it's like it's like I have a solution, man. We have a solution, and people are more interested in tweeting about tyranny. I'm really kind of over tyranny. Like my new radio show, Michael Dean After Dark, I'm describing it as a game show where the loser is the first person to talk about tyranny.
Well, you know, you made a comment a little while back, I think it was on Freedom Fiends, where you said that it's just that the way the rate at which the state is decaying and falling apart is laughable. Like all you can do is laugh at them. And I thought that was fantastic.
We just make fun of it, man.
And what's
what's the slogan on the blog there, Michael?
On the Fiends blog? Oh, laughing while Western civilization collapses.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I mean, and so, you know, programs like this, like you designed, Derek, you know, and Michael, that you're pushing. I mean, this is really the stuff that just totally circumvents the system. Like, there's no point in even talking about the system because it just blows past it.
I think adoption of this is just inevitable, and it's really just or something like it. The beauty of Namecoin, there's other people that are coming up with solutions that I haven't read about. I'm not fully schooled in, but they're more specific. The beauty of Namecoin is it's just an open key pair registry. You just register a name and a value, and that allows for all kinds of innovation that we can't even conceive of. And I just can't imagine this not being the future.
Another thing about adoption is there are a bunch of blockchain based projects out there right now that are getting I don't even think adoption, because I don't think they even have anything yet, but getting a lot of attention in press that are so far reaching. Like, yeah, maybe they'll do it, I hope. And, you know, some of them have like major funding. But it's like they're saying, okay, guys, we're going to make a flying car that works on water. It runs on water. And it's like, Derek and I have, you know, a decent, you know, 67 Chevy here, and you can climb in and take a ride. But everyone's looking at the plan, the blueprints for the rocket car, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, actually, this is a great point that you bring up and that I want to touch on, is that some of the, you know, Bitcoin, part for me to slightly answer the question, and I asked you guys earlier, as far as why isn't this getting adopted yet? You've got these group of, I call them Bitcoin monogamous, this group of people that... it's just Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin. Anything that isn't Bitcoin, they don't want to hear about it. And in fact, it's not just that. That'd be fine if that's their choice, but they actually actively tell people, don't get interested in any other blockchain technology at all. You know, and that's insulting.
Like people who just have rifles and say that's the only way to liberty.
Exactly. Yeah. Bingo. Right on. Which is crazy. And so you have this group. And then you have also, and because one of their arguments, the Bitcoin monogamists, one of their arguments is well, we can implement all this stuff into Bitcoin, and so we'll just wait.
Blockchain is like, how many gigs is it now? It's too big.
Oh, I don't know. It's crazy.
And they want to implement things like putting in documents. No, I think you need a bunch more coins that are based off Namecoin.
Because nobody wants to store stuff they're not interested in, right?
Right, right. Absolutely. And so you have these... You know, there's these other projects now that are like Ethereum, you know, Next. Actually, NXT apparently can do kind of a dot bit type thing, and at least that's there. But you have projects like Ethereum, and there's a few others where, even though, okay, I'm glad that they're not Bitcoin and that they're trying to do this really this next level stuff, you know, this 2.0 or 4.0 stuff, you know, whatever moniker you want to use, they're not there. Like, Ethereum doesn't exist. You know, the name is perfect.
I actually installed it. It's got Ether right there in the name.
Yeah,
I actually installed it last night. They have some kind of like demo, beta, alpha.
Yeah, they have an alpha proof of cloud.
I actually installed
a proof of concept
last night, and it didn't prove any concept to me. It crashed the first two times. Then I rebooted my computer, got it to install. Maybe I'm too stupid. I don't know, because it just looked like... It kind of looked like uTorrent, but with a bunch of numbers flashing by. I don't know what it did. There was nothing intuitive about it. And I'm not going to bash that guy.
No,
primarily
no.
Because he owns Bitcoin Magazine, and we're trying to get written up in there. But
Vitalik's great.
They have a marketing issue. If they have a real thing that's going to work, I watched their video. It's like 10 minutes long, and it's like, I don't know what it does. It's kind of like... I guess it kind of reminds me of like on The Simpsons when they come up with the new guy for the Krusty the Clown show, and it's like, yeah, Gabbo, 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 and no one knows what Gabbo is, but they're all talking about it.
Right. And yeah, it's amazing. Go ahead, Derek.
There's other people, you know, trying to solve problems of, you know, cloud-based file storage that's actually really distributed and not, you know, the cloud that is Amazon servers, things like that. There's one project that's...
Yeah, what's it called? It was on Ernie's show.
Yeah, I was just looking through my email.
MadeSafe.
MadeSafe, yes.
Yeah, so. I'm having those guys on next week.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'd like to hear more about it.
My critique of them is they need a white paper that describes it. Like, they're saying, we got a flying car, but, Derek and I want to take a peek in the engine. And not necessarily, like, source code. We don't want to vet thousands of lines of code. We want to just look at, like, one page that describes exactly what it does.
Right.
The source code's out there, but it's there's a lot of it. You know, you can't really get a lot from that.
Sure. All right. Well, that brings up a couple points. One other point I want to make quick is that, all this talk, especially from the Bitcoin monogamists or even from the guys at Ethereum. And again, I'm not insulting. I mean, all these people are doing great work. They're pushing liberty forward, whether they intentionally mean to or not. But there's technology out there now, like Meowbit, that's bringing these features now. They exist now. There's no need to wait. And so that kind of annoys me. I mentioned NXT, and NXT can do a lot of what Ethereum's talking about, and it's already there. It already exists, like an asset exchange, all these different things. And Namecoin can already do this, can free the internet from ICANN. They say, well, we can put that into Bitcoin. No, there's no need. It's already here. Let's just start using it. Yeah. Right away. And this is one of the things that excites me about Meowbit, is that it's just proving that it can run right now. But the other point I want to bring up is that, the white paper thing, and I want to get your guys' opinion on this. Like, yeah, I understand wanting to get the white paper for MadeSafe. I'd feel a lot better too, especially since I'm about to interview them. But doesn't it seem like everybody's got a white paper today? And like, is anybody, it all just seems like blog posts to me.
Well, it's something. It's something, right. And he doesn't even have that. If he does, it's buried somewhere. I looked on his site and couldn't find it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not too surprised at that. I mean, most of the documentation for Meowbit was written after Meowbit was working. So
yeah, but it happened a lot quicker than any of these other projects because it's smaller and more defined.
Yeah. Well, I think I kind of like that. I like that actually there's a product, before the white paper hits. Maybe there's proof that this is like the real thing, because I get very annoyed that, just wait. It'll come out soon. Just wait. I want it now, just like my Liberty. I want it now. How do you feel about like the proliferation of projects and like all the white papers out there? It just seems like there's so many. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Ours works.
Well, yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. It's definitely not the way I develop. I mean, I'm a hardware and software hacker, and I just hack things together. You start writing it and you find out how it's going to work while you're doing it, so it's a different methodology than a software engineer. But I call myself a software engineer once in a while too, but starting out with requirements list, I don't know if it can do it or not. I don't know how it's going to work. I'm going to start writing it and find out how it's going to work. So, that's right. The way I've always approached software, because I started programming, at a very young age, and there wasn't any, education that would teach me the right way to do anything.
So
it works for me, and it's a get it done kind of thing, where let's make it happen. Let's not talk about it. Let's just do it.
Okay. Well, that brings me to the next question, as far as, Derek, you're the, the programmer here, and what was the purpose of putting Meowbit onto Windows, programming it for Windows? Was that due to like that's what you're most comfortable programming in, or was it so that there's mass adoption, since for some reason most people still use Windows? I mean, even though like you said, Michael, Windows 7 is actually probably the best version of Windows in history. So I mean, what was the purpose of doing Windows first, and do you expect to grow more?
Michael, do you want to talk about when I first pitched the concept to you?
It's embarrassing.
It's funny. It's a good story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was working on this other program, which it's not like it dare not speak its name. It was called Free Speech Me. I named it. I was kind of doing the same role on that thing. Sure. We raised, $2,500 on Indiegogo, and we're waiting to get paid on that, and I get 20% of that for, I'm getting $450 basically for working like 120 hours a week for 5 weeks.
Man.
Yeah, literally. So, and like doing really vision, not, I don't know if visionary, but really like things that weren't even in the original plan. Like I got it, the video translated into 10 different languages and got people right. to record them well and made good videos of them. Things like that. And things like giving away, you know, little bits of Namecoin here and there to people who are interested to, and getting them up and running with it. And that guy and I have, he's a good guy, I guess, but he and I have a real difference in opinion on things. Like I want to, you know, Derek works like I want to work, you know, he's like, let's do it full time. The other guy, like I could barely get a hold of him, you know? So,
oh, wow. Okay.
He's a full-time student, more than full-time student. And, he's really cautious with things. Like there are some programmers out there working on different blockchain technologies, that basically, it seems like their opinion is they would rather have it 100% perfect 5 years from now than have it 85% perfect yesterday, which is what I'd rather do, because that's how you get adoption, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I mean, like by the time at that rate that some of those people work at, by the time you get .bit perfected, ICANN is going to have shut down all of the free speech on the internet. So, you know, it's kind of like, I'd rather have a good old antique rifle that shoots straight and some bullets in my basement now than go rifle shopping for the perfect scoped AR-15 during the zombie apocalypse.
Right. And so you found Derek, who is your old
I know Derek already.
Or rifle.
I'm surprised we hadn't really talked about it before. But here's what happened was like the day Free Speech Me came out. And of course, that only works on one browser. It only works in Firefox. It also works for Linux.
That I don't use.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't use
that. Most people don't use. Yeah. Like, you know, everybody was saying the first day, everybody was screaming, make it for Chrome, make it for Chrome, make it for Chrome.
Yeah. Everybody asked me about that. Yeah.
And Derek emailed me, and then I called him, and he was like, I actually think I could do this in like a day and make it work system wide. And I was like, shut up, man. Don't, we're in the middle. Like, basically, we were in the middle.
Take my money now. Take it.
We were in the
just
middle.
Launching the campaign.
We were in the middle of a launch. And he was like, oh, I have a new product I want to turn this into. You know, and like, I did something I don't use. Here's the thing. If it had been my project, I would have said, yeah. But it was this other guy's project who I couldn't even get on the phone, who was like kind of – he's not standoffish, but he seems that way because he's so busy that like sure. – You know, I didn't, and I knew he'd say no to it. So, you know, Derek, like after 3 or 4 weeks of working on that project and feeling kind of underappreciated and like, you know, we could be doing this a lot quicker and that my skill and drive was going to waste. I was talking to Derek and was like, hey, so what's that thing you got? You know, and, he told me about it. I was like, that sounds brilliant, man. I said we should pitch it to the other guy because, you know, we don't want to sound like we're going behind his back. So we pitched it to him in a group email, CCing both of us back and forth. And the guy said, I don't want to fork the project right now. And Derek said, it's not a fork. I'm using entirely new code. And the guy said, I don't know. We have this thing that's working. Why don't you run it by the Namecoin forum? And Derek said, I'm a just do it kind of guy. You know, I don't really ask permission or feedback. And I said, I'm like that too. And the guy wrote back, run it by the forum. And I'm like, okay, Derek, just run it by the forum out of respect. So Derek tried to get on the forum and he couldn't get on their forum because that's a known issue on that forum is the login doesn't work a lot of the time, or it didn't then.
Wow.
And that's another thing.
Never got the registration email. Yeah.
Yeah.
And couldn't get anybody to help me.
Yeah.
IRC, there's 70 people in their IRC channel and nobody responded for a week. So. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like and I don't want to speak collectively of the Namecoin programmers because it's separate people.
Right.
And there's like 5 or 6 or 7 of them. But a big issue with working on stuff for Namecoin, it's not a big issue. Derek says it's completely a non-issue. I have felt in the past like it's an issue. And I think other developers have, is it basically like there's a two or three people involved in Namecoin and then two or three people who aren't, who follow them around acting like they're backup on forums. Whenever anybody does anything cool with Namecoin, there's about 5 or 6 people who jump in and like, how dare you? You're trying to make money. on a GNU license project where you're encouraged to make money, you know, and like, how dare you not run this by the community? And invariably the answer comes back like, I posted on your forum 4 months ago about this and nobody replied, you know? So yeah, it's like, right. There's some people there that think that all the new developers are stealing their ideas and not running it by the community, when in fact there's nothing to steal because it's GNU licensed, and it's that the community is not responding to new developers. So
the people that are calling themselves the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I like the style that you guys are talking about, because in fact, in Bitcoin, there's a group led by a guy named Marco that, you know, they run a CoinD, CoinVoice. They actually rewrote the entire Bitcoin core, I guess they're calling it now, in Go. And the code is gorgeous. It's beautiful. You can get over it in a couple hours. I mean, it blows away what the Bitcoin Foundation is pushing as far as the actual, like, you know, as far as their code that we've been running off of for so many versions now. And so, yeah, when people just say, no, I don't even want to ask, I just want to do it, I love it. The best things come out of that.
Yeah, and Namecoin is kind of a wild west in that way. I think if we were doing this in the Bitcoin world, we'd be getting screamed at by 1,000 people. I really do.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I don't doubt it. So to get back to like what was the thought process in putting this, you know, implementing this in Windows first, Meowbit?
Yeah. I pretty much just do Windows because it's what I'm tooled up to do. I've got the Microsoft Developer Network subscription. I've been programming from Windows for these 22 years. Not Windows, but Microsoft in general. You know, I've been looking at Microsoft prompt since I was, you know, since I was a kid.
Yeah.
So so that's where I'm at. I'm just really not, you know, I'm really not experienced in Linux development and don't have any interest in Mac development. So
but I'm glad. Like, if I could have picked a skill set for Derek to have, it would be that, because I'm looking at massive adoption. And you know, free speech me already works sort of on Linux. So I don't feel like we needed to hurry in any way to develop this for Linux. I'd like to get it developed for Mac, because that's the next biggest chunk of adoption. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and there's other solutions for Linux. You know, Linux people are probably a little more sophisticated, and their network configuration stuff is easier to deal with. So
yeah, it's a lot easier to switch out DNS stuff in Ubuntu than it is in any other OS. So I agree.
Run this as a simple server in Linux, and you know, it's really all I have here. All Meowbit is, it's just a DNS to Namecoin bridge, really. You know, it's connecting to an API in the Namecoin client. You know, most of the complicated stuff was getting the DNS servers. Well, Windows 8, the initial trick I found that I tried to sell to Michael W. Dean was just for Windows 8. And it was a way to trick out the registry to have certain domains, top level domains, handled by a different DNS server. So this Meowbit works best in Windows 8. Windows 7 and prior, it has to actually switch the DNS servers. But to do, you know, there was a lot of management of, you know, how do I do that without messing up the person's computer to make sure that the DNS servers get switched back, you know, that regular queries get answered, that the right DNS servers are used for resolving the .coms, you know, whatever the user wants to use. So
right, and people that use it, that use Meowbit, they're not even going to see, you know, this happening. Like, you just figured it out, you know you tricked the system to do it, and they just run it and it just works.
I haven't had any reports of the DNS servers not getting switched back, even if the software I haven't had any reports of crashes either, but even in a crash I've checked to make sure that everything got cleaned up properly, and it did. So there's a lot of core code to make sure that there's not two instances running things like that. And that's kind of what I'm good at with Windows, is, you know, writing software with interfaces, you know, deep within the system. And so that's where
I think it was a good move. I mean, to put it in to do it for Windows. I mean, you know, let's face it, as much as I wish, you know, that maybe everybody would move on to something else. You know, it's still the number one operating system in the world. I mean, just about everything uses it. And so, you know, if you want to get something big out there, you know, or if you want to get something game changing out there, that's where you start, you know. And so I think that's fine. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Linux users,
but I do want to go ahead.
Linux users are huge nerds. They know how to do this themselves.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, though I will lay out the challenge to my listeners. If anyone wants to, you know, maybe join the programming team, if you guys are open to that, you know, and they want to work it into Mac OS or, you know, some Linux flavor, or even BSD, you know, get in touch with me or get in touch with Michael and Derek, because I think.
I don't know if we're looking for other people.
No,
I think
okay.
That's a question for Derek.
Well, fair.
For Linux, I don't see me out, but really, it's going to be so different on Linux than it's.
So many people, I mean, I've talked to Linux users who are like, oh, I just routed my DNS through my bloody blah, and I'm looking at .bin already.
Yeah. Right, right.
Like, I don't even know if free speech needed to exist for Linux.
Yeah, there's NM control is a Python, I believe it's Python, that can run as a system service and perform DNS to Namecoin bridging that, right. So I think that's all set. I think, you know, there's man, I don't think you're going to apt get it yet or anything, but
I mean, basically I'm really happy just working with one person on this. I'm not trying to chase off people who'd be willing to help, but it's kind of like Derek and I have such a good dynamic that I kind of have to stop you from offering an open call for people to audition for our band.
Yeah. Oh, understood.
Yeah, but for, just to expand on that, I didn't mention Mac, but for Mac, it probably would take somebody that really had an intimate knowledge of the Macintosh operating system, or more than just, you know, your standard.
If somebody is a kick butt Mac programmer, we'd love to talk to them if they're interested on this.
Right on.
And there's no money too. I mean, you know, we gotten a little bit in donation, you know, like under a grand total in donation. And, you know, more than half of it went to Derek. And that was just the initial, like, hey, everybody, I'm doing something that's world changing. You know, I know you donate something. So that was just like people we knew mostly. So, it's a labor of love, man. So if anybody has any illusions of making money on this, this is not the project you should be programming somewhere else.
Yeah, I can't think of a software project that I've started on that wasn't professional related, that wasn't just because I wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was going to be my next question, is like, what exactly, you know, where, what is the, I'll start with you, Derek. Like, what is the deep seat? Like, why did you want to do MeowBit?
Well, once I ran Free Speech Me, and it didn't run on, it only ran on Firefox, and I couldn't I couldn't set up a .bit IRC server, you know. So right. it was only for web. I think Free Speech Me works through a SOX proxy, so there was no you know, I couldn't ping a .bit. I couldn't look up the IP address from the command line of a .bit. So, you know, those are the things that I wanted to have. I mean, who knows why I might want to connect to a .bit from something other than the web. But, you know, there aren't any IRC servers out there yet that are .bit, although, like, Freenode.bit is registered. I don't know who registered it.
Right.
Which is a popular DNS server for developers.
Yeah, it's probably, like, the number one IRC server still out there.
Yeah, yeah. So that was my initial thought. I installed Free Speech Me, and I said, oh, wow, this is great. And because I didn't really, you know, realize the potential of it until I actually had that in my hands. And that's when I called Michael, or Michael called me. I think I sent Michael a message and he called me right back.
Right.
So that was my motivation. And I actually set it up on my own machine to resolve through a third party DNS server, like right away, using that registry hack I talked about. And of course, that's something that works. It's really low overhead, but it's not trustless. Like MeowBit is. MeowBit, you know, has a copy of the blockchain that's provably correct, doesn't rely on anybody else's information. For smaller platforms like a tablet or a phone or something like that, you know, you're not going to be able to download the whole blockchain to that. So I kind of do foresee some need for trust. Just like you on my Windows phone, I have to, for a wallet, I have to use the blockchain.info wallet. And so I have to trust blockchain.info because I can't fit the whole blockchain on my phone.
Right. So at some point you're saying, you know, for this to get, you know, to access .bits. And in fact, this is an interesting point you bring up. To access the .bits on tablets and smartphones, I mean, how do you see that working? Like, well, like what what would have to come out to allow for that? Because like you said, you can't put the blockchain on these things. The average phone is doing 16 gigabytes now, and I'm sure most companies would love for it to be even less. That way you have to use the cloud more. But what do you think? What kind of innovation maybe would have to be out there?
Well, the market will provide, right?
But, yep, that's a fact.
But I kind of foresee some trusted public DNS servers that are independently audited. You know, so you can have somebody that checks them and makes sure that, yeah, this is resolved into the right address, you know.
Yeah, like some kind of notary service where it compares three or four of them and make sure that it's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You could set up a .bitNS server for the public and just list them with some other company that validates it. You know, of course, they could collude, but, you know, that's that's the way things go, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this is something like I guess, you know, I wonder if you could, I mean, because like Android in particular is, you know, it's essentially Linux and, you know, maybe switching the DNS to some degree could work. But you still, just like with Meowbit, I mean, you still need to get to .bits. You need the Namecoin client, correct?
Yeah.
Like on whatever you're using.
Yeah, I'm hoping in a future version that we'll find a way not to have to have the whole kludgy Namecoin client, but to be able to use it because there's another Namecoin daemon that doesn't have a GUI, that's just a command line app. I'm looking into ways to integrate that into Meowbit when the Namecoin client isn't running. That's one of the other problems with Free Speech Me that frustrated me, because I was learning about .bit from having that come out that day. So then I wanted to run the Namecoin client so I can start registering, you know, all these .bit domains that I wanted to have. And right. The Namecoin client and Free Speech Me didn't play well together. They both used the same ports and stuff.
I can actually think right now of a layman's way that could be done. I mean, this just hit me. I might be inventing the next internets on this show right now.
All right.
Derek can tell me whether it's pie in the sky or not. Basically, if you had – this would involve some kind of trusted third party, but something that would – and maybe a distributed trusted third party again with, you know, notaries checking one against the other. But something that checks against – like let's say 3 out of the last 6 days, it's checked every domain name that's registered on the Namecoin blockchain, and then will only download to your phone – ones that have actually resolved to something in the past 3 days. Because, I mean, of course, people could put a placeholder page, but most of them don't even have that. Like, I'm trying to get something right now for this guy we're doing this interview with on this poker site. And, like, somebody has – I was going to get his .bit for him, but somebody's already got it. There's no placeholder that says, send me $10,000. There's no email address in the transaction like sometimes people put. So, you know, this system would not download that domain because in the past, you know, 3 out of the past 6 days, it hasn't had anything on it.
Yeah.
So you're thinking like an idea that does kind of a constant pruning of the blockchain. What do you think about that, Derek?
Yeah. I don't know how – I have a Windows phone. Previously, I had an iPhone, and I'm way glad to go gone from iPhone to Windows. I had no interest in developing for the iPhone.
Yeah.
I developed the Silver Calculator app for Windows 8.
Yeah.
For the Windows 8 phone.
Oh, okay. Nice.
First came out, yeah. I'm not sure how I haven't looked into how the network interfaces work on the Windows phone, but I'm pretty sure what I've seen of Android, I'm pretty sure you could get something running in Android that would check 4 or 5 different, you know, .bit NS servers, and would be able to tell, the phone itself would be able to tell if it was bogus or not, you know. So just do, you know, 4 lookups across 4 different public .bit servers, and as long as those 4 aren't realistically colluding, then you'd probably have a pretty good bet it was right. And then typically, you're not really ordering, you know, one of the problems with .coms is hijacking, you know. So you don't want somebody hijacking Amazon.com and gathering your credit card information. People aren't really, you know, buying stuff from Amazon on their phone that much, you know. So you would know that if you don't have a trustless system on your phone, the site might be hijacked. So you just go to your PC, it's running the blockchain, and then you know you're on the right site.
Yeah, maybe you could even just put things in your shopping cart from your phone and then order them at home and make sure that you actually were on the right site.
Yeah, if I was on my phone and they had seized freedomfiends.com and I went to freedomfiends.bit, you know, it would be pretty obvious to me if it had been hijacked or not. And if it wasn't obvious to me that it had been hijacked, it wouldn't matter because I'd be reading the, you know, I'd be reading things that would be interesting to me. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's interesting you bring up Windows Phone. I often, unfortunately, admittedly, like I will neglect to even talk about Windows Phone. And I should because I definitely like it a lot more than I like iPhone or iOS, anything that's happening in iOS. I imagine, I mean, if you developed this since Meowbits for Windows 8, even though we're talking about something completely different, I guess. But I mean, if this can be done in Windows 8, you were able to like kind of trick the DNS. Maybe that could be done with Windows Phone. So that's interesting.
You called it Meowbits. It's Meowbit. Meowbit. That's okay. Yeah. It's somebody else made the mistake yesterday, and it's kind of like calling it the interwebs. I like it.
I don't know. I guess I mean there's nothing really too technically incredible about Meowbit where I think somebody would
except that it works.
Yeah, it works. It works, but it's nothing. You know, if you were to ask it about whether some company would. You know, take the code and use it. Could they or would they? I don't even think they would.
They write their own. I mean, they take the idea.
Yeah, they write their own. It's simple stuff. Yeah. It's more in just doing it than in some sort of technically savvy, you know, super code. I mean, everybody builds on everybody else's code these days.
And Bitcoin and Namecoin are technically savvy super code.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I haven't touched that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm interested, but I haven't.
You know, Derek, I'm curious, has the Namecoin community like approached you at all? I know you said you kind of experienced a little bit of hostility.
Michael may have. I haven't really experienced any hostility. I'm pretty standoffish anyway.
The guy who invented Namecoin, his name is Kahal, K-A-H-L or K-H-A-L, is a guy in France. He's hip with me. He likes me. He's cool.
Oh, right on. Yeah. Okay.
And no, I've talked to some of the other Namecoin developers. I published that spec for the product registration, and it was one of the Namecoin team guys I was talking to because I couldn't get in the wiki. I was telling him I can't get on the forums, and he didn't have any forums access, but he'd been working on the wiki, so we all began on the wiki. And I said, I really wanted to get some feedback on this. Should I just publish it? Or he said, yeah, just throw it on the wiki. And I threw it on the wiki, asked for discussion. Nobody's discussed it. You know? So
yeah. Well, you know, I love the fact that this just works. And, you know, in fact, really, if I was a dev team, like the dev team for Namecoin, I would want to talk to you, Derek, right away, because you just brought a ton of value, you know, to what I'm developing.
Yeah. I think they just don't have time for it. And they've been on they've been on the project for 3 or 4 years with little success, probably. I mean, I'm just guessing. I'm speculating.
Little adoption.
They might be thinking. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right. It's a successful project in that it works, but if nobody's using it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I guess I want to touch on a subject here. We were talking about, you know, possibly how could accessing .bit be done on mobile platforms like tablets, like smartphones. Obviously, iOS, I think that's generally out of the question to really do anything that innovative with. Windows Phone might be a possibility. Android, you know, this is something Google's really ever. I mean, they've been doing it for a while, but certainly KitKat version 4.4 has really laid down the gauntlet as far as this goes to where they're starting to close Android up. And there are even apps that would natively use Tor, would use Orbot to access the Tor network. They're getting to the point where, like in KitKat, they can't do that anymore. You know, they can't access the Tor network. And so I guess I'm kind of feeling, and this is something I've explored on Sovereign Tech a few times, I'm kind of feeling that the mobile platforms, either maybe Ubuntu Phone will take off or something, but they're not, they are really all becoming kind of closed gardens, and I don't think a whole lot of innovation is going to continue to happen as to where with PCs, like you mentioned earlier, how you could really confirm if a .bit is what it is if you're on, you know, if you're on a full-on computer.
Yeah. And that's what I've always liked about Microsoft is they've always just really opened things. I mean, they haven't opened their code, of course, and that's what a lot of people
right, that's
cite,
closed source.
But they've always been really, I mean, I've been developing for Microsoft, you know, since I was 10, I guess. I mean, I had a TRS-80 Model 1. And
wow. Hell yeah.
and they've always been open. You know, they've never really locked down the system, said you can't do this or you can't do that, like Macintosh has anyway,
right?
Or iPhone, you know.
Right. Which, I mean, is ironic because for a while, Apple, at least during the early aughts with OS X, I mean, they essentially, you know, if you knew BSD, you could do anything in OS X. But now they're even they're sandboxing that. They're doing the same thing where they're just they're kind of closing everything in to where you can't do a lot of the innovative things like what you pulled off with Meowbit.
Yeah.
And so I guess I wonder and I'm curious to hear both of your, you know, your thoughts on this. You know, I wonder, should people maybe, this is kind of an abstract question, should people maybe not rely so much on these mobile platforms because they're so closed down? And maybe should people, you know, concentrate on their PCs more? Are these, do you get what I'm asking?
Yeah, or other open source hardware projects too. I mean, there's been an explosion of open source hardware in the last couple of years. People working on open source phones. The Raspberry Pi is becoming even more open source in their hardware. Where Broadcom, I believe, just released the firmware for a lot of the components that are on the board.
I actually want to at some point. I mean, I don't think we could go back a generation at some point, but something I want to point out to people who use so-called open source licenses, which are actually more accurately called free software licenses, in particular the GNU license. I've been looking at it's up to version 3 now. The Namecoin wallet came out under version 2, and I actually posted on the Namecoin forum today to encourage them when they come out with the new wallet to compare the two licenses and maybe not just automatically update to version 3. You know, and I'm not giving legal advice. I think they should run it by an attorney of their choice. But
sure.
Version 3 is actually more restrictive than version 2 because it basically says version 3, in my understanding, basically has an addition that says you cannot run this software on closed source hardware, which is kind of ridiculous because, I mean, my understanding is that basically makes it so you can't run it on any computer, but it certainly right. makes it so you can't run it on, like, oh, let's say if someone came up with a Bitcoin cash machine that also sold Namecoin and was closed source hardware, you would not be allowed to use the Namecoin wallet on it.
Well, that's ridiculous because essentially you could have an NVIDIA video card on whatever that device is, and then suddenly you couldn't use it.
Yeah,
because you know,
that's
all closed.
Richard Stallman, man. Richard Stallman.
Yeah, Stallman's a piece of work.
Yeah, that license, the 2.0 version of that license is brilliant. I mean, it redeems anything I think about Stallman because it basically says this license allows anyone to use your project anywhere in the known universe or beyond without your permission, without consulting you, for free or for pay. In the present, the future, and the past, if time travel is perfected on any planet in all 11 dimensions, and screw you, developer who uses this license if you don't like what they do with it. That's basically.
It's amazing.
I mean, it looks
it even
like
had M-theory in it.
It looks like it was written by. It does not have the 11 dimensions. I added that. But basically, it's a really long legal document that every line of it boils down to you can do whatever you want with it. It's kind of bizarre because Stallman is a statist. He's an absolute, like, almost socialist. He's anti-war, which is good. But of the three guys who developed Linux, it's him who's a real statist socialist. And, Linus, who is a, typical, like, mellow, I'm from Scandinavia. Healthcare should be free. And Eric S. Raymond, who is a gun-toting anarcho-capitalist. And there's actually a Linux documentary about there. I forget what it's called, but it's got like the three of them at a conference, and it's got footage afterwards of Eric S. Raymond offering to take Linus shooting at the range afterwards. And Linus is like, oh, I don't think I'll be doing that.
Derek, did you have some thoughts?
Well, I mean, I'd like to be able to publish my software so that my software is free, as in not like the Free Software Foundation, but like free like beer. But, Michael mentioned earlier why that's not possible. Just because of the way the copyright laws work, and that some companies won't be able to use it, because of their own internal
I think
policies.
The answer might be using GNU license version 2 instead of the latest version, and I don't see any reason you couldn't do that. I think people just go, oh, there's a new license, and they don't even read it, and they go, oh, free software, we'll use that one. The new one must be better. But man, Stallman likes to, he doesn't like walled gardens. He said very eloquently, I love this, he said Steve Jobs made jail cool. But and he's actually it. Stallman is actually far more critical of Mac than he is of Windows, which kind of speaks to me of the and a lot of smart Linux people are. It kind of speaks to me of how people are deluded who are Mac people who are like that's their religion. Like, no, man,
right?
You're in a jail. You know, at least with Windows, you know, you got it's all closed source, but it's like you're not in a jail. You know, yeah. Like,
and I do have some concerns about Microsoft going in that direction. I know their newest version of Visual Studio, which is what most Windows software. Well, I don't know if most Windows software, but it's what most of my Windows software is developed in. I just downloaded the most recent version of that, and it wants me to sign in with my Microsoft account. Windows 8 wants me to sign in with my Microsoft account. They have the Windows Store.
Right.
You know, I can't just put anything on a phone like I would have expected to, and with previous mobile platforms that were Microsoft-based, like the Palm PC and those things, you could just put whatever you wanted on it. You know, so I wrote the Windows Silver Calculator app, and I had to put that through a review process. And I was actually not too dissatisfied with the review process because they did find some problems, but I did have to ask.
Oh, it actually
permission.
Worked. How about that? Yeah, the review process worked.
Yeah, it was the second day of Porkfest last year that got approved, and I expected to have it ready about a month before Porkfest. So,
right.
Well, with review processes and gates you have to jump through to be and again, it's not the state. It's you have a choice of developing for Windows or not, but it's still kind of they almost have a monopoly in their store of getting it to people. And do they have a monopoly? Like, could you make it and just put it on your website and could people put it on their phone without going through the store?
No, but to even put it on my phone, I have to get a license from them to put it on my phone.
Yeah, but at least for my own PC. But at least they did some like what a guild would do. Like other people in your field came in and offered you advice, which is good.
Whereas it wasn't a bad process, and I can't complain about it. I understand why they're doing it from a corporate standpoint. I just don't like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Apple is far worse. I mean, they recently took the blockchain, the Bitcoin blockchain app off of the market, so it could not be put on an iPhone, and there's actually a video of a guy shooting an iPhone with a rifle because of that.
Yeah, there was a lot. Yeah, Somebody put an offer on Reddit to pay in Bitcoin or something like that for videos of people destroying their phones, and there was quite a few that came out that day.
You know, interesting thing. There's speaking of the importance of licenses. There was a trick that was discovered for how to actually get a native client wallet on iOS, and this was done by a couple. Well, it wasn't a jailbreak. This is actually totally within the App Store rules. And it ended up being that because there's a degree of enterprise licenses that, you know, proprietary licenses that iOS has to appeal to for companies like Cisco, Symantec and others to where they're going to use their software and they got to use their software, you know, their way with their code, no matter what, even if it's not something that Apple would necessarily agree with. They figured out that this one company, it's called Cog Co-op. They're actually cooperative. They figured out that since they're a cooperative, since they're actually a company more or less, they could get that license and they could build a Bitcoin wallet and just, you know, license it as enterprise software. And so that it, you know, essentially it fell under the, you know, the proper rules. So the importance of licensing in these things is interesting. In that you can actually get around some very some really interesting loopholes, like you mentioned, Michael, on how to get this stuff out there.
Yeah, that's interesting. With Windows, I could put it on anybody's phone. I had to have a license myself, but I could put it on anybody's phone if I invited them to my public beta or my private beta.
You'd have to be in beta forever.
Yeah, so I had to put their email address in so that they could download it, the email address of their Microsoft account, and people were able to download it without reviewing.
Okay.
And there really isn't. Is there like a real Linux phone? I mean, Android works like Microsoft, basically, with that kind of licensing thing. Is there a open source, free software, free hardware phone?
Yeah, there's some
people. Ubuntu phone's coming. Go ahead. Sorry, Derek.
There are some people working on completely open source phones, and I was actually looking on the web trying to find it. I've been kind of following them. Open Moco is one, and they're trying to make, I think. Open source software stack. This might not be okay. The one I'm thinking of, but what they're trying to do is make sure that the phone is completely open source and the firmware too. So they're picking chips out that have the firmware open source so that your, for example, your microphone, your audio card can't communicate directly with your Wi-Fi card and just send out the audio without going through the open source operating system.
Which is a big problem that ARM software, ARM firmware, I should say, has really. That's an interesting point. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the Ubuntu phone that's coming out. They're apparently going to have some real phones by the end of the year of 2014. But there really isn't. And Google's getting so bad. And this is an important point to bring up is that, you know, a lot of people like with the Bitcoin thing where, you know, they said where Apple said, hey, you know, no, we're not going to allow any Bitcoin apps, any Bitcoin wallets in the App Store. I think Google's, you know, just you know, they just haven't crossed that bridge yet, but they're getting there to where they're closing everything.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard somebody said their motto used to be don't be evil. And then 5 years ago, it was evil is hard to define. And now their motto should be we build robots for the military.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's interesting, Derek. I mean, you're painting a picture to where Windows actually allows for perhaps, or Microsoft allows for, oddly, maybe some of the most freedom. Well, this is amazing.
Yeah, not the most freedom, but I haven't been too disappointed with the freedom. Now, I know that, you know, some people are going to hear this and say, oh, my goodness, Microsoft did this and Microsoft did this. And there was some enterprise customer that Microsoft wouldn't give access to their API or Microsoft has their own hidden API functions that only they can use. And they don't publish documentation and you can't get documentation. But generally speaking,
Except for Linux, they have the most freedom. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Compared to Apple, this is just my observation. I'm not stating this as fact, but it seems to me like Apple is really locked down.
Oh yeah, I actually I'll confirm that, Derek. I mean, I think one of the things I loved about OS X, I was a huge Apple fan. In the early aughts. In fact, the G4 Cube was like my favorite computer ever. And I know a lot of BSD code, so I felt right at home with OS X. But a few years ago, they just started locking everything down. And I was like, wow, this defeats the whole, we might as well still be using OS 9. Like there's no point to what you, all the developments you did with OS X. So I concur. I think Microsoft feels a lot more open. Granted, you know, the very kernel, you know, the deepest nuts and bolts are very closed. But other than that, you can write just about anything for it.
Everything's getting closed. And, you know, sometimes it's because of evil and everything except Linux. Linux, GNU/Linux. as Stallman has sent me about 40 emails demanding that I say it that way. I've had an ongoing beef or three with Stallman for a couple of years now. Which isn't saying I'm special. There are thousands of people that have beefs with him, and they're all the same beefs. The guy doesn't program anymore. He just sits around writing people emails and saying, don't call it open source, call it free software. Don't call it Linux, call it GNU/Linux.
Yeah, I'm like 2 hours away from him, and I haven't run into him, and I'm kind of glad, but that's just me.
Yeah, but I mean, even like Twitter, who are, you know, one of the least evil of the social networks.
Yes.
You know, we wanted to do an open ID login automatically on our tech, on our help forum on MeowBit, and Derek set it up, and it was great. It's great. You can get in now with OpenID, G+, or Twitter without making an account on this site if you want tech support from us, which is good because we got sick of doing it by email and doing the same questions over and over and over. So,
right.
But I had to get a Twitter API, and to do it, I had to give them my cell number. Like, and Derek said like a couple years ago he didn't have to do that. So,
yeah, they've closed down too. In fact, a lot of people were worried that Twitter was just going to totally close down their APIs. But I think they thought better of it because so many things integrate with Twitter.
Yeah. I like Twitter a lot better than Facebook or G+.
Me too. Me too. How about you, Derek?
I've completely skipped Facebook. I've never made an account. Nice.
That's awesome.
The gaming site I run has a Facebook account, but I just some of the other people run it. And I think they gave my wife permission to run it, but.
Go ahead.
Ultima Online Second Age. It's a Ultima Online emulator. It kind of targets the 19. I don't know, Brian. You know Ultima Online?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ultima Online, a popular MMO, came out like 2000.
Yeah, yeah, it was really the first MMO, really, that was
graphical. It was way ahead of the game.
Yeah. So I lived in that from 98 till I got banned in 2000 for fishing while I was at work and mackerel fishing. And I guess we're coming up on 7 years now. I've been running this Ultima Online, the Second Age emulator. So that's at uosecondage.com. It's pretty popular.
Oh, I didn't even know that existed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, check it out.
Right on. Is there a social network that's accessible through a .bit yet?
Yeah, the meowbit.bit forum, tech forum. Yeah. And it's more than a tech forum because we have a section called Meowbit Success Stories where you can go post about how easy it was to get on, and you should do that too.
I really should.
It does help. I'll send it to you.
Right on. Yeah, I will do that.
That's a social network. I mean, it's a PHP BB, you know, forum, and you know, people can socially network there. There's not a lot so far, which I'd say, you know, we've had a lot of downloads and not a lot of requests for tech support. I'd say that's a good thing. That's a quality problem.
Yeah, that's a sign of something working, right? Yeah.
As far as social networks go, I think really, you know, decentralized social networks are going to be kind of independent of the .com registry or the ICANN registries anyway, like RetroShare and Tent.io, I think is the other one that are.
You know what I loved? Yeah, something I loved, and they actually, I think they advertised on Free Talk Live years ago. It was plainboards.com. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was just, you could go there and just totally anonymously create a forum.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, that was fantastic. I'd love to see something like that exist, you know, in the .bit universe, because, you know, again, to be totally anonymous, and forums are just fine. There's a reason they're still around. It's because they do their job. You know, certainly a lot better. I mean, Facebook is utterly annoying. I mean, as much as I use it.
Forums pretty much predate the web. I mean, news groups.
They're
no
different than BBSs.
Yeah, we're basically forums.
Yeah, I think it was SecureShare was the other up and coming decentralized forum. And I guess RetroShare's problem is that they can't support too many connected users, where SecureShare is solving that problem.
Right. Well, I think they should hire you guys because clearly you guys get the job done. I mean, this is working. You know, I was using it today and it worked beautifully.
Yeah. I only get the job done if I'm passionate about it. I don't know how much money someone would have to pay me to come do this kind of work for something that's, you know, I would not do it for something evil. But, you know, if it was something like, hey, our new basketball shoes company has a new app coming out, you know, I'm like, I don't have any problem with that, but I don't think I could work on it like I am, unless I think if you paid me a dump truck full of money, I still couldn't work on it like I'm working on this.
Yeah. And me either. I mean, me and Michael have made a great team because we're both really excited about that. And I definitely wouldn't have done that. I'm definitely not doing it for the money. You know, I mean, it's because I wanted it for myself and I want it to be good. And I want people to adopt it, because if people don't adopt it, they can never go to my .bit sites.
Yeah.
And Michael's just been, you know, an incredible marketer on this. I mean, nonstop.
Well, I've spent my whole life trying to get on radio and be a radio talk personality, like since, even before talk, like I wanted to be a DJ spinning records when I was 12, like in the 70s. And, you know, I was a ham radio operator as a kid. I built little like pirate transmitters as a kid, you know, that not even pirate, like Part 15 that, you know, broadcast to the neighborhood. Most powerful station in the tri-yard area. And, you know, there's this weird, like, window in time to where a totally ANCAP radio show can get on syndicated radio. Free Talk Live paved the way, and we're standing on the shoulders of giants. But we're on 22 stations now. My new show's on one station after a week on the air. And
is that After Dark that's on one station?
Yeah, it's now on one station.
Wow, amazing.
And, I got it today. It's on in Cairo, Illinois. It bleeds into Kentucky, too. It's rural, nice. Rural Illinois. So,
phenomenal.
Yeah, and I'm really psyched about it, and thank you. But it's like, this is going to go away in a couple years. Like, you know, President Hillary Clinton is going to say, we can't have Rush Limbaugh and the Freedom Fiends bitching about us, and they're going to take us off the air. And they might not take us off the air. They might like put us on at 4 a.m. only, when most stations are powered down and most people are asleep. But I think they're going to do something like, they won't directly go after free speech because it looks too bad. I think they'll do something like, you know, say, well, we have to serve the community. So instead of a syndicated show nationwide, it has to be like individual shows, and they'll get, you know, status loving kids from the journalism classes in high school to come in and talk, interview the police chief about why they need more money and things like that. And then I think what they'll do with websites, I don't think they'll close them down and say, you criticize the president. I think they'll say, your podcast here of your radio state, your show, 2 years ago, you used a picture of Bart Simpson on your blog. That's a copyright violation, and it'll take the website. So I'm basically, I'm trying to build the dot bit roads for, to be able to still talk to people audio wise in a couple years or 3 or 4 years when I think I'll be kicked off radio.
Right on, Derek.
And they're already starting with that, right? What's that equal time stuff? They've had that for a while, right?
The what time?
Equal time. And
actually, that went away. The ironic thing is the fair and balanced act. What was it? Yeah, it was. There was a law. That still exists, but with campaigns. Like if you have a Republican on for a half hour, you have to put a Democrat on for a half hour. But there was something like that with news and talk radio. And actually, Bill Clinton signed it away, and that created Rush Limbaugh. That's the irony of it. Like he would not have been allowed on air before that. And his first, you know, Limbaugh's first act on air was like a 40-hour soliloquy about how horrible Clinton is. So, yeah, but they're going to either there's actually a documentary film about the need to reinstate that done by some Democrats. And basically the thing is like, you know, right wing talk radio dominates talk radio. Like my show is and Free Talk Live are literally on before or after Rush Limbaugh's Week in Review and Glenn Beck's Week in Review,
right,
on a lot of stations. But the thing is, the reason that right wing radio is the radio, there's not a lot of left wing radio, is like, not that the left wing isn't getting their fair share. It's just they're really bad at doing radio. Like right wing conservatives, I don't like most of what they say, but they're really good at spewing invective in an almost poetic way. And
I agree.
You know, with like there was a left wing radio thing. It was Air America, and it went out of business because they couldn't get enough advertisers. And I think a portent of what was wrong with that was their flagship host, who was the guy, the SNL comedian. What's
Franken.
His name? Franken.
Al Franken.
You know, Senator, yeah. Al Franken, before he was a senator, he was like the flagship talk show on there. The first day that they were on the air, he went out for a cigarette and got locked out while his show was on the air.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I can't stand either side, really, in terms of that, because, you know, I hear the liberal talk show hosts are just kind of laughing at people, you know, with, you know.
It's all head on.
It's dumbed down. And yeah. I see Hannity on the other side is the same way. You know, he just calls people idiots and doesn't understand the point they're trying to make, even.
I mean, I agree with most of what Hannity and Rush say about what's wrong with Obama. But the thing is, if Romney had won, they wouldn't be saying the same things about him, and I would be.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and it's interesting. Speaking of Obama, this story just broke very recently, in that they are planning on releasing the senatorial control of ICANN to some unnamed global body,
you know, and they're saying it's going to democratize things even further and America shouldn't have the absolute control on this. But really what it's going to do is it's going to open it up to a bunch of countries that have even less of a protection of free speech than America, able to take things down.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, you'll never get
kicked off of the air in America or off the internet in America for criticizing Putin, which we do. But you know, once Putin has his finger on that button, you might lose your show or your .com for criticizing Putin.
Yeah, yeah. Derek, do you have any thoughts on that recent development?
I say we just, you know, keep on the same path of decentralizing stuff. I mean, I don't see a lot of advantage in trying to stop the machine from doing what the machine does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let it fail on its own power.
the worse it gets, the sooner it's going to fall down. You know, I mean, there's two ways of looking at the future, you know, and, you know, I mean, you can try to fix it or you can just let it crumple under its own weight. And it seems like there's no slowing it down. If you just look at things like money creation rates and stuff, it's just insane. It's laughable to anybody that looks at these charts and numbers.
Bitcoin,
so it's just a waiting game.
Bitcoin is revolutionary for a lot of reasons, but one is I think it really turns everybody who touches it into an anarchist, into an anarcho-capitalist, because
it does.
Not really everybody, but a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
They start using it and they're like, wow, we don't need centralization. And then, of course, there's, you know, people like the Winklevoss brothers who want centralization, because the Winklevi, because they'll benefit financially from it. But, you know, the average user who's trading a couple Bitcoin a month or less, who is just going, wow, wait, I don't need a central bank for this. This is so cool, you know?
Yeah, this happens because I actually – there's a Philadelphia Bitcoin meetup that's pretty popular, and there's an activist down there who's coming back to New Hampshire now, thankfully. But there's an activist down there who talked to a guy, you know, this guy's not, you know, totally apolitical. I mean, you know, just doesn't really care about anything, any kind of philosophy or politics or whatever. And the guy just walks up to him and says, hey, you know, with this Bitcoin thing, after using it, he just says, it's like, yeah, we don't really need banks, do we? And it was huge. You know, this guy out of nowhere just comes up with this revelation in his head, all because of blockchain technology.
I mean, I was trying to send money to somebody I owed money to the other day. It was like $30 or something. And PayPal was like down for maintenance. And it said, like, we'll check back in 2 hours. And I've never seen that before. And I was like, I just sent it to the guy on Bitcoin and he had it in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, and I think Bitcoin, I'll admit this caveat. I think Bitcoin, like you mentioned, the Winklevoss and others, I think Bitcoin might get so much heat that it becomes worth it, I think, to look in other places like Namecoin or take your pick. I mean, you know, and I don't know. I don't think that Bitcoin would ever get, you know, taken over by governments, perhaps, but I do wonder if maybe there's real validity in looking into more of the altcoins, especially with what you guys have done with MeowBit, you know, making this, you know, having this killer app, this feature, and really making it work for everybody. You know, I think serious attention needs to be drawn to it, and I think all those people are saying Bitcoin and Bitcoin only, they really need to
You should bring it up at your Bitcoin meetup. I mean, it's, you know, you'll probably get some people going Bitcoin, Bitcoin only, but you know, this really needs a bunch of Johnny Appleseeds out there spreading seeds in the country. And
Namecoin is Bitcoin with a little bit more stuff, you know,
right.
And it's not made to replace Namecoin. I mean, it's not made to replace
Bitcoin. It's the only cryptocurrency that is no threat to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it is, and it's literally it could really interface with it really well. I mean, think about the power of a Bitcoin-based gambling site that's on a Namecoin domain that can't be taken down and can be moved.
Yeah, it's untouchable.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Yeah. And with merged mining, it's not even subtracting from the hash power of Bitcoin either. When you mine Bitcoin, you mine Namecoin as a side effect of that. So it's got incredible amount of hash power for very little cost.
It's kind of like it's kind of like how Mad Dog 2020 is actually like what they scrape off when they make Mogan David wine. That's true. They didn't want to put their name on it, but yeah, it's MD.
So Namecoin can be the remora to the Bitcoin shark.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's great. Well, if you guys, unless you have anything else to add, I think that's a great note to end on.
Meowbit.com.
Yeah. I love it. And Derek, thank you so much. Well, both of you, of course, but thank you so much for sleepless nights, getting this out so fast, because these features are here. They can start being used right now. Meowbit.com. People can download it. It's an easy install. Really? It really is. Right. Just make sure you have the Namecoin client too. But did you guys have anything else you want to add?
Thank you for your service, Derek. And thank you for your service, Brian.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Likewise, gentlemen.
I'm really glad your MeowBit install went really smoothly, and that's most of what I've heard. So
yeah, I reckon I can't picture
except for Ian Freeman, but we made one special for him.
Yeah, and he had a special configuration too. So and his works now, right out of the box.
Okay, that's got to be a story. Speaking of that, real quick, this does work on Windows XP, Windows 7, Windows 8. How about Vista?
We don't know yet.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't know.
We want to find out, nobody will admit to still having it, maybe. I don't know.
Probably, I'll admit it. Go ahead.
Do you have Vista?
I have a laptop with Vista on it.
Try the 7.8 version on Vista and let us know. We'd love to know if it works.
Both versions should work on Vista, but I'd really like to know that the Windows 7 version works on Vista because it's really superior. So,
yeah, right on. So
the Windows
guys,
7 version is superior, not Vista being superior.
Right, right.
Yeah, no, Vista's not superior.
The Windows 7
version.
Unless
you really like Dream Scene. Go ahead.
The Windows 7 version is probably going to be updated more often because we had to do some different stuff and include a lot of extra files
to
get it working under XP. Yep.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, well, I mean, I recommend everybody, you know, Windows 7 is just one of the finest, really, OSs out there. I mean, I've had so many people email me saying, hey, how do I go backwards from Windows 8? You know, and it's just like, yeah, I will help you. I consider it so important.
It took me a while to get used to Windows 8. I'm pretty okay with it now. You know, I use it on most of my machines, but the Metro thing is just silly for sure. Not having to start menu is silly, but...
When you got Windows 9 coming out in about a year from now, April 2015, that's pretty scary because Windows 8 hasn't been out there that long.
You're right on top of this technology stuff, aren't you? I had no idea.
XP still supported. It still updates. I turned mine on the other day after like a year of not having it on, and it did about a day of updating. No, it did about 2 hours of updates.
But I
think
that's
amazing.
Stopping.
That came out in 2001.
Yeah,
man.
They do have a tombstone for XP in June, I think. So
I got the funny feeling though they're going to extend it again because how many times? I mean, 2007 was supposed to be the cutoff.
There's more people using XP than using 8.
Yeah, and their commercial customers are using XP too, so they're not. Trying to drive them into 8, I'm sure. But if that doesn't pan out, they're going to support it because those people are buying other apps like Office and whatnot. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So whatever version of Windows you're using, Meowbit, or you know, XP and up, Meowbit will work for it.
It does not run on Windows 95 or Windows 3.1. We could look
what about
at
Windows
that
2000. I wonder if Windows 2000, because that's pretty much the NT.
It might run on 2000. It requires the .NET 4 framework. So the Windows 7 and 8 version use the .NET 4.5 framework, which is pretty slick.
Right.
But there was a lot of stuff I could do in that was just more reliable, asynchronous stuff. So I kind of rolled it back to do it under the .NET 4.0 framework for XP. I don't know if that runs on Windows 2000. If it does, it'll work. I didn't look. Does anybody use 2000?
If any of my listeners use it, send me an email. Try it out and send me an email. I got to know. So anyway, Meowbit. Meowbit.com, right? That's the website.
Yep.
Fantastic. Guys, thank you so much. Go ahead, Derek.
Oh, and if you have a success story too, don't just go to the help forums for troubles. I mean, if you Brian, you had a great experience. Post it up on our forums at Meowbit.
I'm going to do that.
I appreciate that.
I will absolutely. I will do that. I appreciate everything you guys are doing in really helping set the internet more free. And that's so important. It is activism. I think it's safe to say using Meowbit is a form of real activism. So go for it, everybody. I love it. Again, Michael, Derek, thank you so much. Michael Dean, of course, can be found at Freedom Fiends. And Derek, I imagine, can be found at the help forums.
Yeah, absolutely.
At meowbit.com. Yeah. So thank you again, gentlemen. Carpe Lucem, everybody. I'll see you in the next episode.
This has been Sovereign Tech. Visit us at sovereigntech.com. That's SOVRYNtech.com. There you can connect with us, see more of what you've heard on today's show, and catch our podcast feed. Sovereign Tech is open source. We encourage you to share. Later, nerds.